Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm always amazed at how these kinds of services sort of begin to pull themselves together from different places in different ways. Some time ago, in discussions with the worship and music committee, I wanted a way to say thank you because of the excellent work that is done week after week by many people, each doing some little thing. I show up here and I never have to worry about a thing. There's always going to be the place, the things in place that need to be there. The jobs are done, and so all is well. And all I have to worry about is myself, because that's a big enough job as it is. But it turns out, of course, that then we find out what this text is. It is a reminder that for all of our thoughts about a church, it is certainly not about the building. Now, we have been well served in this place for 45 years. This is the building, and that has housed the services of worship for a very long, long time, and it has served well. But there was a time, and certainly as you know, that this was a storefront church. It began on in some little space out there on the main drag, I guess, when they finally had enough and people and money to buy and property. The first and building was a white wooden church out on the corner, right in the middle of where the flowers are now, out there. At some point, that didn't work, so they needed to look to something else, and we have this. It has been loved and cared for, and deeply loved, as in the Velveteen Rabbit. It has shown its wear and tear at times. All is good. It has been a good space. But we know this is not the essence of our worship. Our worship is found in some other way. It's found in finding the words of Christ in our daily lives. So in that, we celebrate and we rejoice that we have a place like this, but we also know this is not the thing that we absolutely need. For in the same words will be heard and used and considered in places around the world. Sometimes in churches and cathedrals in other places, sometimes in small churches, or perhaps in school rooms or wherever they can find, sometimes under a broad and leafy tree, sometimes quietly in homes of two and three and in secret. We are fortunate and blessed that we can worship as we do. These words here remind us that our true rock is not in these in things that are made of great stones, as Herod's and temple was going to be. It was still under construction at that time, and so great that the disciples imagined that it would last forever. It barely lasted a handful of years after it was completed, before the Romans came, and yes, every stone was thrown down. Not one stone left upon another. We understand that we need a more secure and solid rock than that. But all is not lost. We have one. And Nikolai Grundtvig, of course, knew it well. Built on a rock, the church shall stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling. Well, my sermon was going and pretty well, and then Friday came. To consider again what it is to have an evil in our world and wonder, what does this mean? These words were what I came to. Yes, there will be rumors of war, and nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, but the end is not yet. You would think we know better, and yes, we get there. As civilized and people, we come to realize this makes no sense at all. World War I was the great war, the war to end all wars, and everybody thought it would work. What right-thinking person would possibly look at the devastation that took place in Europe and consider going to war again? It just makes no sense at all. We had right there all four of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as it is. We had war, we had famine, we had death and disease, even an influenza became an issue at the same time around the world. And yes, we had an antichrist. One more person in the historical parade of antichrists who in their leadership led the world in exactly opposite ways to the way that Jesus Christ himself would. And we thought to ourselves, we can do better. So we established the League of Nations and assumed that this was going to be really easy. All we have to do is get the civilized and people to sit down at a table together, and we can figure out a way to live without war. What we could not figure out is how to get rid of sin. For there's always going to be someone around to raise up and say no, to find a different answer, to take and steal and destroy and kill for their own reasons. We saw this again on Friday. And we are concerned, we should be. Even as we pray for those in France, we wonder what's next and where. Will it be here? Will it be in some place that is, still around the globe on some other side of the world, or will it be close to us? When I flew out of Dallas, and you go through the TSA line early in the morning, there's a whole lot of people all in one very small place. We are at risk, and we are concerned. And yet Jesus is the one who reminds us that there is something else going on. Even as we look at the death and destruction, there may be more to this. For he concludes his words, "This is but the beginning of the birth pangs, that it may yet be that God, even through these things, is going to redeem the world in ways that we cannot imagine, and yes, the entire world." Do I ever think there's going to be world peace as long as we're involved? No, I don't. But I have great hopes that God is up to something even better. And Jesus Christ himself is bringing about things that we cannot possibly imagine. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He's on the other end of the political spectrum from me. we were having a discussion, and he was and wondering, are we ever going to get together on this thing? And I think we will. We may find that our dangerous talk leads nowhere, and we will need to sit down and return again to discuss and to learn and to listen to each other in ways that will bring more stability than we could ever imagine now. God is still at work in this world. The fact that we are in need of such great things, we look to people who have been there, to those who have been in places that we cannot possibly imagine, and yet we look to them as examples and people who speak to a better way. The words that will be sung in the distribution hymn, goodness is greater than evil, are words of an Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He's been there, he's seen it, and yet he has still held to this word of hope, that God is not done. And we can hope in one who is greater than ourselves, and certainly greater than any large stone. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, as you come, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We do this in our worship. We do this in our own daily prayers. And we do this together.